Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week. All right. With that said, our text this morning is one verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let me read it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. As we approach the issue of gender this morning, I want to do two things. The first thing I want to do is I want to pray. So would you just bow with me as we ask God's work in our lives? Oh, mighty Heavenly Father, I ask you, as we approach this issue, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place. Lord, where there are condescending attitudes or self-righteousness, I ask, Lord, that you would lovingly convict us of that and give us a deep love for everyone. Father, I pray that because every one of us who come to faith come undeserving into your grace. I ask, Lord, that you would make this building a safe place where Satan is not allowed to confuse the mind, where he is not allowed to speak lies into people today. I ask that you would bind him and keep him so that people can hear your word clearly and can make decisions about you. I ask that in the strong and precious name of Jesus, our risen Lord. And I pray today and ask, Lord, that anyone caught in confusion, in dysphoria, who does not know how you made them, I ask, Lord, that you would love them with an incredible love, that you would wrap your arms around them, that you would teach them both grace and truth in their minds and hearts. Lord, in all that we do, we ask that we might be seasoned with salt, that we might be truthful and gracious. And so, Lord, fill us today with your love and your kindness, for it is your kindness that leads all of us to repentance, O Lord. Amen. The second thing I want to do as we come to the issue of gender is tell you that we have an enemy. We have a real enemy. And that enemy is not Republican nor Democrat. That enemy is not a person who has a different opinion than you. That enemy is not an LGBT person. It is Satan. He is our enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." People are not our enemies, but the devil is. And the devil and all of his fallen angels work constantly to deceive mankind and to blaspheme God. The devil is a liar. Do you know that? The devil is a liar. John 8:44, as he was speaking to the religious leaders about their being caught up in his lies. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This summer, we did the series in Proverbs, and I told you that God made you beautiful, that he made you just right. Creation was perfect. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. But you didn't believe me. And I knew you wouldn't. I knew you wouldn't because we live in a culture so saturated with the idea, the Satan's lies, that God makes us all with flaws, with problems in us. Dan Allender is a man who was abused as a child. He is a professor. He is a counselor in different forms. I would recommend him if you've had any abuse in your background. I'd especially recommend his videos. They are so good. His teaching videos are so good. He also has written a book called The Wounded Heart, which you should go through with somebody else. I'll just tell you that if that's your case. He recalled a conversation he had with his granddaughter. It went like this. "Papa, can I ask you a question?" "Yes, honey, you can ask me a question." "Papa, do you know you have a big nose?" "Yes, honey, I know I have a big nose." There was a pause for a little while, and then she said, "Papa, can I ask you another question?" "Yes, of course, sweetheart, whatever you want, ask." And she said, "Does your nose ever make you sad?" Is that an interesting question? How does a six-year-old know that your face, that your body, are the basis for evil trying to get into your life and make you sad? How do they know that? That we are going to make comparisons all our life about how we are in comparison to every other people, and judgments, and assume that we have flaws. And others are going to join into it, and they're going to also judge, and they're going to say, "Yeah, you're not tall enough. You're too short. You're too tall. You're whatever. You're lacking. There's something wrong with you. Something missing." Dan Allender was 65 when he had this conversation with his granddaughter. He was immediately transported back to a time in third grade when there was a group of boys dancing around him, shouting out, "Danny, Danny, the nose, his nose is bigger than a hose." And immediately in that moment, as an older adult, he felt ashamed. We have a lying enemy, a deceiver who works at beating you up. He works at telling you things that are not true. Satan is a liar and an accuser. He accuses you about your worth, and he tries to convince you that God is not good, and that God made a mistake when he made you. He made flaws in you. The truth, though, is that God made us perfect, but we have sinned. And we brought evil into this world, and we have a sinful nature from birth that leads us to broken conclusions. I am a tender-hearted, empathetic man. That's what I am. I have been that since I was really little. I can tell you at this point, I tell you my eyes leak because they do. You know that. I have come to embrace that. Even, I dare say, appreciate it. I did not appreciate it when I was young. Imagine being 16 and having your girlfriend with you at the movie theater. And as the dog gets lost, you start to cry. But she doesn't. This is a hard thing on your identity. I'm just going to tell you. I'm so glad that nobody was there at that moment to whisper, "Maybe you're not a boy." All of us go through this place where we have something Satan attacks us about, tries to convince us that something's wrong with us. And it really doesn't matter what the issue is for you. "Oh, I develop too fast. I develop too slow. I'm too tall. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I have curly hair when I should have short. I should have straight hair. Oh, I have straight hair when I should have curly hair." I can keep going until I find yours if you want. My point is that Satan whispers, "Why did God make you like that?" He is an accuser and a liar. "I'm not cute enough, not smart enough. Wish I could read better." The devil always seeks to destroy God's creation, to destroy you and your trust in God. What if you grow up in Wisconsin as a guy and you don't like hunting? Did God make a mistake? What if you grow up in Wisconsin and you're a girl and you like hunting? Did he fall asleep? We have all of these things that Satan whispers into us. "Oh, this is wrong. That's not good." He's a counterfeiter. And everything good God makes, Satan tries to distort and destroy. There's been a cosmic shift in the area of gender in our country. Before 1960, sex and gender were the same. For almost 200 years in our nation, no one even thought differently. I want to look back at the origin of the division between sex and gender. By the way, the Bible, in the Bible, sex and gender are the same. But for definition's sake, let me give you the cultural definitions. Today, in our culture, sex is biologically determined by chromosomes, by reproductive structure, by anatomical features. Gender, however, has become a psychological construct and is determined by how you feel. In other words, sex is a biological fact. Gender is the way you feel about yourself. Let me go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The battle is raging at this spot. I gave you faith options. You have two. I've expended the first one. First one is this: no one plus nothing and a lot of time equals everything. Or God created everything. Those are your two choices. They are faith choices. You can't prove either one. You have to make a decision on which one is which. Both are received by faith. And listen, if Satan can get you to jettison God from your belief system, do you understand he can lead you anywhere? Anywhere. When God created, it was good. He said it was very good. God made man and woman for intimacy. So he gave you a desire to be loved, to look into someone's eyes and see them accept you for who you are. He made you male and female with the ability to procreate and have children. He made you complementary, both physically and psychologically. And all that God made, he said, was very good. And he gave us rules to protect us. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold to his wife, and the two will become one. It was to be a covenantal relationship for life, to protect you from harm of a broken heart and the baggage of being used by someone else. It was intended to be a gift for your wedding night. It was reserved for those old enough to experience it, not for kids. The lie from the beginning is that you and I can be like God. And it leads to theories of life without God. Here's the battleground. Is there a God who gives us moral absolutes for our good, or are we evolving creatures who make up our own rules as we evolve? That's where this battle is. That's the place. The battle cries of this movement are things like, well, religious mores, well, they were given to suppress us from having fun. The archaic idea of one sexual partner in your life, that's just crazy. The battle cry at this moment is things like religious prudes were trying to keep us from being all that we could be or all that we are. Religion is so repressive. And the truth is, the fall of man, the advent of sin, and our fallen nature gives everyone a desire to throw off God's rules and be their own God. Unfortunately, the track record when we do that is not good. You may not want to believe that you have good and evil in you, but it seems to be one of the most easy things to prove, doesn't it? People can be mean, lose their temper, say horrible things to each other. We can manipulate, we can oppress, we can take advantage of, we can cheat, lie, steal. Here's another battle cry. Marriage of one man and one woman was designed by men who were trying to suppress women. That is simply not true. It hasn't been true from the beginning. Look with me at Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage was created by God for us. The second thing I would say to you is that it doesn't really even make sense. I mean, if you threw off marriage, what do you got? Well, you have men and women who are having sex with each other, men who are having multiple partners, and of course, the nice thing for men is that they don't get pregnant, and so they're pretty much without consequence. And what guy went from there and said, hey, let's just marry one woman and oppress her our whole life? It makes no sense. It's not a logical thing. The truth is, God's plan is good, but sinful people can ruin any plan. And I'm not trying to pretend that there aren't marriages that are every bit as destructive as they are good. And some are terrible. No, God's plan was good. Biblical marriage is the process of two people who commit to give themselves to the other for life. I remember I was not doing the wedding, but I was in a wedding, and the guy said, you know, for those of you who are older, we used to have these two candles, and then we'd light the unity candle together and blow out the other two. And he said, you know, we're not going to blow out the candles because we want to make sure we stay who we are. We want to maintain our own individualism. Blah. What a goof. You can't live together and do that. God said, I'm going to put you together. You're going to be one. You're going to share all of life. His problems are now your problems. Her problems are now your problems. And this is what you're going to do. I love being married. I have a wonderful wife. And he said that this is a reflection. Marriage is a reflection of Christ and his church. That it's literally like Jesus who gave himself, who laid down his life for the church. And the church responds by voluntarily falling. All of it is by volunteer. All of it is done out of the will we have to do it. I have a delightful wife. Yesterday, we worked really hard. We moved topsoil. We dug up sod. We put down wood chips. We had, 14, 15,000 steps by about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we were exhausted. And then we did what God wants us to do. We stopped. And we pulled out our chairs and we sat in the garage. And we just said, it's good. That's what we're doing, right? You work hard together and then enjoy it. It's a biblical picture and it's good. When you retain your selfishness and you want to control another person, it spoils God's design. Many marriages have at least I think they show that people are not willing to love each other that way. And today we have all this gender confusion and dysphoria. And I feel like I need to tell you where it began, because it matters. I don't know whether you know this person. I don't care whether you know him or know who they are. But his name is Alfred Kinsey. In 1948, he wrote The Sexual Behavior of the Human Male. In 1953, he wrote the sequel to The Human Female. I used to have the book in my office, but I got rid of it. He is the originator of the phrase, I was born this way. One of his premises was that infants and toddlers are sexual beings, and you could see where they're going to turn out. I'm going to try to be PG for you, okay? The best I can. How would you find that out? How would you find out the sexuality of an infant? There's a lady named Judith Reisman. She was a consultant for the U.S. Department of Justice. She was an advocate against child abuse. She read tables 30 through 34 in Kinsey's research and realized that there was no way to get that research without abusing children. He couldn't prove it. He died in 1956. But Paul Gebhard, his institute director, said this. Regarding the research, he says, at Indiana State Farm, by the way, that's a prison, we had no plan of sampling. We simply sought out sex offenders. Do you understand where this research came from? We have an enemy. And he is the devil. And he is a liar. And he is a deceiver. We are accused of oppressing people because we believe in a creator in the universe who had a specific plan for our good. Let me give you another name, Dr. John Money. Dr. John Money was from Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's cited as one who had some of the first transitional surgeries successfully. In 1966, Bruce Reimer's parents visited Money at the hospital because they had a botched circumcision that left their son deformed. Money convinced them that the best solution to help him out would be to turn Bruce into Brenda. And he did the surgery. he administered the hormone treatment. He believed that gender was malleable and could be set as a toddler. And so in order to make this work, he did unspeakable things to him and his twin brother. He called it a successful transition. Although Bruce suffered from depression his whole life, in high school, he turned back and wanted to become a male, so he named himself David Reimer. The end result is that both David and his twin brother committed suicide. Oh, Lord, help us if that's a successful transition. He's also the one who cited terms like gender roles and sexual orientation. You should just know where this comes from. The battle is over whether or not there is a God who created us, whether we are just whether we're just cells evolving into something different. The battle is, did we have a creator of the universe who gave us rules for our good, or are these just religious ideas meant to oppress and repress us from self-actualization? That's why I titled this series Foundations. Genesis is a book of foundations for humanity. In it, we find out what creation was and how God made it good. And then we experience the fall and the entrance of evil. We learn about things like work and rest, marriage roles, gender, hope. They're all in there. I want to finish with just a little, hopefully more upbeat note. Male and female, Scripture says, he created them. Let me give you some good science. Let me define good science from bad. First of all, I would not recommend any student from our church go to college for the social sciences. They are so predicated on premises that they want to prove that the information gets kind of proven the way they want to think. I wouldn't do it. Sciences maybe, but not the social sciences. Let me give you an idea, a test between the difference between social sciences and natural science, or sometimes called hard science. For instance, males are generally more competitive and risk takers. That's socially observed. Do you understand that? This is hard science. Males have more testosterone and females more estrogen. This is hard science. Men's skin is thicker. Not proverbially, I mean, it's really thicker, 25% more thick. Men's bones are stronger and more dense. Men's muscles are faster and more powerful, while women's muscles resist fatigue better and recover faster. Male and female brains are different. There is more gray matter, which takes in information as male, and females have more white matter, which affects memory and connections. That's hard science. You ever ask your wife a question about time? Like, when did we buy that house? And they go, oh, let me think. Well, Uncle Joe got married to Louise in May. They bought that dog, and it died in July. Oh, August. We bought the house in August. What journey did we just go on? And how did that happen? I guarantee you that did not happen in my brain. These are just differences that God made in us. Well, he made a lot of differences. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. I mean, this is our job, to cultivate and watch over, to provide and protect. You were made for these things, men. You were not made to master Call of Duty. I'm just going to tell you. You were made to cultivate, to watch over. John Piper made up this story so that you could get a picture of this picture of protection and providing. And I'll just do it for you. He said, think about a couple who are going to, they have a campus church near the campus in Minnesota. And he suggested they're going into the church, and this young man sees this young woman. And he thinks, oh, she seems nice. And he says to her, hey, are you sitting with anybody? And she says, no. would you like to sit with me? And she says, yes. So they go to church and they sit together. While they're there, they're worshiping God together, and he sees that she's interested, she sees he's interested, and they take notes, and they can tell they're both spiritually interested people. And after the service is over, he says to her, hey, would you like to go to lunch with me sometime? Now, she's in full control, right? I mean, she can say no thank you, or she can say yes, whatever she wants to say. She says, yeah, I'd like that. So they decide that they're going to walk about a mile down from the church to a cafe. And on their way, on their walk, he discovers that she is a black belt in karate. Not only black belt, she's the champion in their state. They're walking a little farther, and all of a sudden, two men jump out. And they say, we want your purse and your wallet. And then they think to themselves, you know what? She's pretty. We'll take her too. And the man says, without hesitation, over my dead body. Well, he stepped in front. The fight was quick. The first punch knocked him out. And then she dispatched the two other men. And in the ambulance, when he wakes up, he's there with the girl he's just taken to lunch. And she's thinking, I like this guy. Why? Because he initiated. He took the lead. He said, I'm gonna do this. He provided. He didn't say, how much money do you make? Let's see who makes the most. We'll decide who pays. He took her to lunch. And he was willing to protect her. He didn't go, I think you can take him. He didn't say that. He was willing. See, the picture here is a picture of protecting, of providing, of cultivating, and watching over. Coach McCarthy, who founded Promise Keepers many years back, he said, men, your wife's countenance is your fault after 10 years. Well, what he meant by that is either you are cultivating them, either you are helping them grow, either you're making them feel secure, you are helping them to grow and be secure so that their countenance will represent the joy and security you give them, or their countenance will represent being mistreated and having a hard life. And he says, it's your fault. God calls us to be male and female. Dan Allender tells another story, a true story. He was on a ski hill with his family. They were at the end of the day, they were all tired, it was cold, and his son fell pretty hard and got scared. He didn't want to go down the hill. And so Dan just did what lots of guys do. He said, just get up and do it. And the wife could see this wasn't a very good strategy. And she said, Dan, just take the girls and go down, and I'll help him get down. Don't worry about it. So he does. And he gets about 200 yards down, and he looks back up the hill, and he sees his son throw his poles down and just sit right down in the snow. And it makes him angry immediately. And he starts back up the hill, and he's angry. And he gets halfway up, and his wife meets him, and he says, move. And she doesn't. And he says, move. And she puts her hand on his chest and says, Dan, you have a lot of men in your life who have mistreated you. You have a lot of men who have made you feel ashamed for things you didn't need to feel ashamed for. And then she said, Dan, you are a good man. Don't do this to your son. And he wept on the hill. Do you see the picture? He makes us male and female. We compliment. Do you understand? Women make connections of things. And the mystery of marriage is that it reflects Jesus and his church. Our Lord Jesus saw that we were lost in sin. And so he lays down his life on a cross to pay our debt so that we can be forgiven. He lays himself down for us. And when marriage reflects that, it shows the world God's love for his church. Do you understand that whoever you marry is going to be broken? Because we live in a world of brokenness. And you and I have the ability to reflect God's glory and be part of the progression of becoming healthy and more like Christ. And this is good. Genesis says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray right now and ask if there's anybody in this room struggling with their identity. I ask, Lord, that you would let them know that we love them and care for them, and you love them even more. And I pray and ask, Lord, that this would be a safe place to express what we're feeling. I pray and ask, Lord, that we would hold fast to your word, no matter what the culture does around us. And I ask, Lord, that always you would make us people who speak truth, but graciously and with kindness. And so, Lord, we ask for your work. In a lost and broken world, we ask, Lord, that you would redeem more, that you would rescue more, that you would set captives free. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, and amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.